This is Ray Hanania, and I hope you enjoy my podcast. For more information, visit www.rayhanania.com. 50 years of failed strategy is nothing to commemorate. The most important thing about remembering the 1967 war in which Israel launched a preemptive strike against Egypt, Syria, and Jordan is not that it was 50 years ago, but that it is what we will mistakenly focus on. What is important is how we got there and why nothing has changed. The war, often called the Six-Day War because it only took Israel 6 days to destroy the myth of Arab nationalism, should symbolize something more important for today's new generation of Arabs. The war, which destroyed Palestinian national aspirations and the myth of Arab empowerment, should be a reminder that Arabs need to change. The concept of change has focused on Israel withdrawing from occupied lands, but that is misguided and has been the weak foundation of Arab strategy towards Israel. The focus should not be on what Israel did alone, but on what Arabs have failed to do. I was only 13 when the war broke out. By then, my father's family had been expelled at gunpoint by Israel's terrorist occupation in 1948. They were forced to flee to Jordan, where they sat in a refugee camp until my father, George, and his older brother, Moses, could help bring their family to Chicago. In 1967, my mother's family experienced the brutality of Israel's military occupation, the human degradation it inflicted on Christians and Muslims, and the humiliation not of losing the war, but of being treated like animals by Israeli soldiers and later the terrorist settler movement. The Israelis were not the main issue, though. We are the issue. We, as Arabs and Palestinians, festered in our suffering. The continued failure to achieve justice fueled this anger. Our leaders fanned that anger into hatred, and hatred undermined any possibility of defeating Israel, forcing us to live as victims who would strike out in anger, in meaningless acts of violence and resistance that often forced us to abandon our humanity and engage in terrorism against civilians, even little children. Israel exploited our suffering, anger, and hate, and the more it did so, the more it excelled towards its goals. In 1967, there were no settlements. Today, there are more than 168. They are racist because they are built only for Jews. They exclude Christians and Muslims, and they are constructed on land taken from Christians and Muslims. The population of this racist settlement movement today is more than 450,000, including 200,000 living in settlements that hug East Jerusalem. Israel's strategic in everything it does. It annexed East Jerusalem in 1980, 13 years after occupying it. It classified those in racist settlements such as Gilo as Israeli citizens, changing the label from occupied territories to disputed territories or Israeli lands. Israel is good at manipulating public perceptions, redefining terms, and planning. They have one philosophy: take what you can get, then slowly change it. Arabs have one philosophy too: take all or nothing. Of course, we have nothing. We have rejected everything. Jews started with small settlements in the late 19th century, expanded them to bigger cities in the 20th century, and then accepted half the state as proposed by the UN in 1947. They knew the partition plan was ridiculous, but instead of rejecting it, they embraced it, because they were confident that whatever they take, they can grow. In accepting half the state, they fought and seized 50% more. Palestinians can change and do the same thing as the Israelis. They can accept whatever land is abandoned by Israel and have faith and confidence that in the long run, they will expand and take over the rest. That's what they need to know. The Israelis know it. They recognize that if the Palestinians ever establish a state, it will grow and eventually absorb Israel. The sheer weight of Arab demographics in peace would suffocate Israeli nationalism. But Palestinians have no faith in themselves. They only have their suffering victimization, and anger. Sadly, some Palestinians have found gratification in that suffering, building institutions that champion the conflict and extremism rather than realistic solutions. And that feeds emotions and clamor for all or nothing. They want to turn the clock back to 1947 or even before and have one democratic state where they say Christians, Muslims, and Jews will live together as equal. But they cannot. So they create an industry for their suffering and commemorate their tragedy. Palestinians must break free from this mental bondage and define a new future based on growth and confidence that we can achieve. Otherwise, we will pass along to the next generation of Palestinians and Arabs another commemoration of 75 years or even 100 years. By then, will Palestine even exist anywhere outside of our angry memories? I'm Ray Hanania. Hi, I'm Ray Hanania. Thanks for listening to my podcasts, which reflect my writings. I write about Middle East issues and mainstream American issues in several print newspapers, like the Arab News in Saudi Arabia and the Southwest News newspaper group in suburban Chicagoland. I also write for several online news websites, including thearabdailynews.com and suburbanchicagoland.com. Create a free icon on your mobile device for my podcast by visiting my podcast page at rayhanania.com and keep up with my world by checking out the links there again at rayhanania.com. Thank you so much.